multiplication or increase is a part of God's kingdom. It's a part of his creation for multiplication, for increase to happen. God desires to use everyday, regular people. I know Sam. I know him well. And God used him and his plans, the things that he was doing. Sam's not perfect. Sam's not, you know, more holy than anybody else. He'd be the first one to tell you that. He's not all that good looking. Teasing. He's not, but I mean, I'm joking. I hope he hears this someday. God wants to use us to do incredible things. Increase, multiplication is just a part of God's kingdom. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples this, and we're going to look at that scripture this morning. And it says Mark 9 there, but it's actually Mark 8. Verse 14. It says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Jesus says, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not still see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? Jesus is here when he's addressing two attitudes or belief systems that are common within humanity. He sees it within his disciples, but they are just common within humanity. And he calls one the yeast of the Pharisees, and the other, the yeast of Herod. And Jesus sees these belief systems at work in his disciples, and he says to them, you've got to watch out for this. Beware. Be on guard. Watch out for these belief systems at work in you, because the reason he's saying this is because they get in the way of understanding the miraculous things that God can and will do. They get in the way of understanding or believing God for more, for increase, for God to do breakthrough and do incredible, miraculous things. The disciples clearly misunderstand what Jesus is saying, right? They say, you know, he says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, and they discuss it with one another and say, it's because we have no bread. It would be like this. It would be like if I said to you, beware of the infection of being a Vancouver Canucks fan. because I'm from Ontario and I'm a Maple Leafs fan. And you go away and you discuss it and you say, well, he must be telling us to watch more baseball. Right? For those of you who don't know, Vancouver plays hockey and the Canucks play hockey and completely different sport. They are missing the point. And in missing the point, they actually are proving Jesus' point to them. They only brought one loaf of bread. They brought one loaf. And they think that Jesus is angry at them, that they haven't planned better, done better, performed better for him. Because they've only brought one loaf. So they think that Jesus is angry with them, that they didn't do a better job. That right there, is the yeast of the Pharisees that he's addressing in them. It's this. It's that the yeast of the Pharisees looks to control and to condemn humanity. It looks to tell people that they will always fall short no matter how hard they try or how well they do. It's rooted in religion. And in being rooted there, it looks to instill fear into people. And the fear is this, the fear of losing relationship with God by making a mistake or doing wrong. Somebody just said it's performance-based, and that's exactly what it is. It's the fear of losing relationship with God by making that one critical mistake or doing that one thing wrong that will somehow then cause him to reject you for good. It puts rules before relationship. It puts perfection before love. And so they think Jesus is angry or upset with them. And because of that, it puts that relationship in jeopardy. I want you to know this. God's love for you never changes. He loves you when you do good and when you do bad. He loves you when you are absolutely convinced and committed wholly and fully to him, and days where you're wondering where you're at with him. You can't make him love you anymore, and you can't make him love you any less. He just is love, and he loves you. Now, we understand that within ourselves, we wander. That's not him, that's us. That's our own distractions and selfish desires. Our relationship with him is never in jeopardy because of him. And I actually think what we do, see, we can take on this attitude of every time I do wrong, my relationship with him becomes insecure or in jeopardy. Every wrong thought, every wrong action or belief, and it just simply isn't the way God works. And so he's trying to address this attitude, belief system within his disciples here. They think that he's upset because they haven't bought bread. But the fact is that they actually think Jesus is talking about bread. They've misunderstood him. And what they do is they let both their mistake and their lack of resources create a problem in their mind that is suddenly too big for Jesus to solve. Do you have any of those problems in your life? Yeah, me too. Do you see why I say that these are attitudes, belief systems that are common to humanity? They've let their mistakes and their lack of resources create a problem so big that even Jesus isn't the answer that can fix it. And this is where the yeast of Herod comes in. The yeast of Herod is to rely on human wisdom and systems to solve the problems of the world. The yeast of Herod would say, play it safe, don't take risks, make sure you always have enough. Don't rely on faith or expect a supernatural answer in the midst of this world, especially if you're the reason that you need a supernatural answer. Don't expect that. But instead, make sure you always have enough of what you need. Not long before this interaction with his disciples, Jesus and his disciples fed 4,000 people with seven loaves and a few fish, it says. Seven loaves and a few fish, 4,000 people get fed. And right after that, the Pharisees come along and they begin to argue and they ask Jesus for a sign from heaven. They would have known about the miracle that just took place. I mean, you come up on 4,000 people that have just been fed with seven loaves and a few fish, and I would imagine they're talking about it, right? They would have known. They would have been aware. But they come along, and it says they demand a sign. Because part of their attitude, their belief system, is instead of celebrating what God is doing, they prefer to criticize. So Jesus is warning his followers about the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. The Pharisees, the attitude, the belief system that it's better to control people or to oppress them with rules and expectations. What that does, what happens when we become distracted or focused on rules or expectations in our life or in our faith? I understand that there are things that we should do and things we shouldn't, that there are just simple expectations within faith. I understand that. But also, God loves you. His rules, his expectations are always rooted in love. Not rooted in, let's see if you can do this good enough. Let's see if you pass the test. So Jesus, he's coming to them, and he says, beware of this. And when we become focused on rules and expectations as the way that we earn or gain acceptance, to know if we're right or not, what happens is it distracts us from the goodness of God. It's good, isn't it, that God takes 7 loaves and a few fish and feeds 4,000? That's good, right? Yeah. It's good that God takes enough vaccines for 50 and vaccinates 200. And when we become focused on rules or expectations in terms of knowing if we are measuring up, it distracts us from the goodness of God. And when we become distracted from that goodness, it makes it very difficult to relate to the goodness of God, because all we're doing is relating how good we are to Him instead of just embracing or growing fully into His goodness. What he has for us, a place of increase or multiplication that isn't dependent upon our performance. The fact is this, is if you think that you're never good enough, if you think that you're never good enough, then God is likely never going to reveal himself in ways that bring multiplication or increase. A sign or a wonder that the Pharisees ask for, such as 7 loaves feeding thousands, is God revealing himself, right? A sign or a wonder is God showing himself. It's God revealing himself to people. So in this story, right, in Mark 8, he's just revealed himself by multiplying food. And the disciples get into the boat. They have one loaf of bread because they've either already eaten the 7 that they collected or they gave it away. I don't know. They have one loaf of bread, and when Jesus says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, because what he's doing is he's trying to get them to see what God is up to. He's trying to get them to understand the greater revelation of what's happening. That 7 loaves is enough for 4,000. That one loaf is enough. He's trying to address the belief systems that are at work in them. Right? That 7 loaves and a few fish is more than enough with God to bless thousands. But the disciples, they can't perceive it. They can't see it or understand it because of their belief system. Because they look at it and say, oh, well, we've messed up. We're not measuring up. They're looking to know if they've met the standard or not. And in this moment, they think that they're not meeting the standard. And it keeps them from seeing the greater thing that God is trying to show them. When we focus on rules or expectations to know if we're right or not, it will distract us from the goodness of God in our lives, in your life and in your world, what he wants to do in your home, your workplace, your school. You see, this belief system would say things like, this is the belief system of the Pharisees, would say this, it would say, you should have known better. You should have been more prepared. Have you ever, which one of us in this room haven't, if you're really serious about God, haven't thought, I should really pray more? If I really prayed more, then God would probably do more stuff for me. Right? Do you see how subtle, this yeast is? Because small thoughts can have big effects in our lives. God's for us, not against us. Every time we pray, we should expect multiplication. We should expect increase, incredible things from him, because it isn't actually based on how well we've performed. It's based on him, how good he is, how much he loves us, not on how we've done. See, it's easy. The disciples probably thinking this, but I know lots of believers think this. We think things like, I'm just a dirty, no good sinner. And Jesus can't ever be happy with me no matter how good I do. You think things like, well, we had 7 loaves before and now we only have 1. Boy, we're really in trouble. We've really made a mistake. And Jesus is saying, guys, watch out for this. This isn't what's happening here. Angela likes to bake. And I often tell people this didn't happen by accident. And she likes to bake. And so I've been around it enough to know that yeast is a very small ingredient that affects the whole batch. Has big results. Small thoughts, small beliefs within us, ones that can seem insignificant that we want to just dismiss and move on, can actually have big impacts in our life. You might find yourself thinking things like this. Am I really sure that I know Jesus? Because sometimes I don't act like it. You ever thought that? Guess what? 100% of us have thought that. 100% of us live that. We can know Jesus, and we all will find moments and times where we're not living like him. That's why we need his grace, his love, his mercy in our lives. Have you ever thought, if I really loved God, I'd be doing better? Maybe you've thought things like, I don't deserve signs and wonders to follow me like the Bible says they will, because I'm just not right enough yet. I don't pray enough. I don't know enough of the Bible. I just don't know enough yet. Small thoughts that can have a big effect in your life. The yeast of the Pharisees likes to major on minor failures within us. Any failure within us. These guys had just fed 4,000 with 7 loaves, and they think it's a problem now that they only have 1 loaf. Here's the thing. Don't trust every thought you have. Don't trust every thought that you have. Beware of the thoughts that tell you that God can't change you. Have you ever thought that? I'm just so broken. There's no change in me. This is just the way I am, I guess. I'll get free of it when I die and get to heaven. You ever thought that? It's a fellow named George Abanoff. One time he said, if you're waiting for death to set you free from sin, then maybe death is your savior and not Jesus. That's an ouch moment right there, isn't it? Beware of those thoughts. They're small thoughts. Like, I'm just so broken, I can't be fixed. It's utter rubbish in the kingdom of God. It's a small thought that can have a big effect. Beware of thoughts that tell you that God can't use you to do something miraculous or incredible. Beware of thoughts that say, signs and wonders won't follow me. They follow people that are somehow better than me, more spiritual than me. The thought that says, I don't actually deserve to receive good from God because of where I'm at in my life. Think about it. Jesus feeds 4,000 with 7 loaves. Out of that 4,000 people, do you think that they were all really good people? Of course not. And yet God still wants to bless them. Small thoughts, small beliefs that can have big effects in our life, that God desires us to be aware of, that God desires to reveal himself to us, more of himself to us, to deal with those beliefs in us so that we can come into places where we believe him and trust him for more. God wants to change our mindsets to where we expect him to show up and to show off. See, it's okay for God to show off, right? We would understand that humanity, when we show off, we're trying to draw attention to ourselves. But when God shows off, what's he doing? He's drawing attention to him. Don't we want the attention on him? Absolutely. Do you know, I often, this is a complete side note, I often on Sundays, I pray and say, God, I don't care if I preach today. I don't care if anybody knows me. I want them to know you, Jesus. I want you to show up. God wants to show up and show off. What's a sign or a wonder? Isn't that God showing off? Of course it is. 7 loaves feeding 4,000? Come on. Jesus is like, yeah, that's right. Do you see what I did? Jesus can say that. He's allowed. He wants to change our mindset where we expect him to show up because he's good. Not because we've done good enough to deserve it. Because he's good. He's good. No matter how good you are, he's always good. And the measure that of goodness that he wants to display to you isn't actually affected by how good or bad you're doing. He just is good. He wants to work this into our mindset, into our belief system, so that every time we think, I don't deserve this, we can scrub that thought out and say, okay, because while we would understand it's true, we'd say, but in Christ, you're good. And you desire to bless me. You desire to bless me, to do good, to bring multiplication or increase into my life. That God would change our mindsets. Now, Jesus also tells them to beware of the yeast of Herod, which is embracing human systems or wisdom to fix things. And if necessary, because Herod was a king, if necessary, you use political systems in order to bring change. Lots of times, just as humanity, we actually put too much faith in our political systems to change the world. Do you know what'll change Canada? Jesus showing up, right? Yes,
sir. And showing off.
And showing off. Herod would have wanted to maintain the status quo because it was about power and control. When we embrace a human system as a believer, it looks like this. It's when we primarily default to the man's way of doing things. As our day, our week unfolds and happens, faith has very little influence. Affects us very little in terms of the decisions we make, the things we do, how we act or respond, feel. Let me give you an example. Let's say a friend that you have who's an unbeliever, doesn't believe in God at all, or just isn't, you know, maybe God's there, but has no relationship with Jesus. They're your friend. Let's say that they have a financial problem in their life. And so they go about through their own means, their own strength. They research, they look into it, they ask people, they investigate, and they find a way out of their financial problem. Faith, God had absolutely zero influence on what they've done. And then maybe some months later, you as a believer have a very similar financial problem. And instead of praying, instead of maybe seeing what the scriptures, what the Bible has to say about the problem that you're in, instead of asking God to do something incredible, miraculous, you go to your unbelieving friend and you ask them what they did. And in that instance, faith would have had no influence or effect on you either. Just maybe, God would have wanted to do something miraculous in the problem that you were in. The point I'm trying to get at is many times our default is to trust in ourselves or what other people tell us instead of saying, God, what are you up to? What do you want to do here, right now? Because just maybe he wants to show up and show off. That Jesus becomes the default to which we go to when we have problems and issues in our life. When we have things that right, part of the issue was that their mistake and their lack of resources had created a problem too big for Jesus to answer. Which doesn't make sense when they know what he'd just done and they were a part of in feeding 4,000, right? That's why I say to you, don't trust every thought that you have. Within this room, probably each and every one of us know of incredible, miraculous things that God has done. I just told you about my friend Sam. And yet, we very easily at times latch on to what is currently taking place or happening, and it takes on this life where it becomes bigger than God, or at least challenges him in his ability. See, the Pharisees didn't want to believe in Jesus because they trusted in their rules. And if they believed in him, it would mean that they would have to give up control that they had. And Herod, he didn't want to believe because he had a position of power, of influence, of control. And if he trusted Jesus, he would have to give up that control. Whether we realize it or not, when we participate in these small thoughts that become bigger things in our lives, one of the deepest issues that we have right there is about control and trust with God. Because what we want to focus on is the failure. Oh my gosh, we didn't bring any bread. And Jesus looks at us and says, why are you even talking about that? I don't understand why we're even discussing the fact that there isn't enough bread. Don't you remember what happened? If you find yourself struggling with either of these belief systems, the first thing you're going to have to do is give up control. You're going to have to give up your trust in knowing the rules to keep you safe or in figuring things out on your own. And you have to put your trust fully, wholly in Jesus, whose rule and way is love. It's just love. At one point, Jesus asked the disciples, he says, why are you talking about having no bread? He asks him, he says, why are you talking about this? Why are you talking about having no bread? Let me encourage you to stop thinking about and stop talking about all the ways that you or other people fall short and fail. Bread feeds you, right? Bread is food, it feeds you. Have you noticed that the things you feed on sustain you? It goes with our thoughts too. Let me encourage you to stop thinking about all the ways that you or other people fail and fall short. Stop thinking about all the reasons why you shouldn't receive from God. Some of you have long lists that Jesus wants to take away. It's not the, you know, making a list, checking it twice thing. It's that time of year, isn't it? Stop thinking about these things. Instead, ask God for eyes that see and ears that hear, because that's what he says to them. Ask him to talk to you or to show you whatever it is he wants to talk to you about or show you. That's going to feel vulnerable. That's going to feel like you're having to give up control, because guess what? That's exactly what needs to happen. Where we just partner with him, we trust him, allow him to speak to us, to show us things. He might want to show you an area of your life where you're trusting yourself or someone else and not him. Or he might just want to talk to you about how loved you are. How powerful you are in him. It'll change your day or your week when you approach it with the thought that in Christ, I can overcome anything. Won't that shift your day or your week? Some of you believe it. Okay, trust me, it's true. Jesus then asked them, right? He then goes on, he says, don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many pieces did you pick up, right? And he begins to talk to them about, don't you remember these things that happened? The fact is that when we remind ourselves of the miraculous things that God has done for you or for others, it feeds your soul. It feeds your soul. If you can't think of one, use the story I just told you about my friend Sam. Say, God, you know, you took enough vaccinations for 50 and you made 200 get vaccinated. That is physically impossible. But not with God. Feed yourself on the things that God has done. It will bring you into places of expectation. It will bring you into places of faith that begin to destroy the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod in your life. So that you can begin to expect good from God at all times. Good from God at all times. All right, yeah, I appreciate the clap. You can expect good from God at all times. Yeah, come on, get that into you. All right. It isn't based on how well you've performed. It's based on him and his goodness. Signs and wonders will follow you. Some of you believe it. Each and every one. It's not just for a select few. It isn't just for those that are really passionate or fervent. Should we be passionate and fervent? Sure. Absolutely we should. We should pursue God with everything we have. But God uses whoever he wants. And it's our thinking that often gets in the way of him using us to do something miraculous, incredible, for a sign or a wonder to come. Some of you need a sign today. Some of you need it today. I believe that he's good and he desires to do that for you. You might have come in and think, but my week's beat me up and I feel broken and I don't feel really connected to him. That's okay. Because it's never based upon how well we perform. He does want you to offer yourself to him in the same way that the disciples had to bring the 7 loaves or the 1 loaf. You just bring yourself to him. No matter how small it is, it's always enough for him to work with. That's how good he is. So, we're going to stop. We're going to pray. Right here, right now. All right. I haven't done this for a little while. I'm going to get us to pray together. All right. The reason for that is because I'm just talking to you about the fact that God can use you. And I understand that. I know for some of you that immediately makes you recoil in fear. Okay? I'm not trying to force or pressure anybody into anything. If you're really uncomfortable with this, there's grace for you. Okay? And there's room and space for you. But here's what I'd like. You know, if you need God to show up and to show off in your life, I'm going to ask you just to stand up right where you are right now. Go ahead and stand up. Thanks. Appreciate that. Thank you. Know this, God loves you so much. Okay, now, the rest of you that aren't standing, if you could just start praying for them, you know, start praying for each other, because there's a lot of you. Okay, so just begin to pray with one another. Begin to ask God to break through, to do the incredible, the miraculous. If he can take whatever small thing it is, seven loaves and feed 4,000, he can do incredible things through what you offer him right now. So I'm going to invite the rest of you. Come on, stand up. John, if you... Oh, John's busy. All right, thanks, John. Come on up and play the guitar. And because music just helps all this go better, right? The rest of you stand up and begin to pray with one another. If you didn't stand, that's fine. Begin to pray for somebody else. Begin to offer to them your prayer, all right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we call to you. May you come, Lord. Break through for us, your people. You are the God who delivers. You are the God who saves. You are the God who sets us free. You're the God who heals and raises the dead. You are the God of the impossible. We come to you, Lord. We turn to you now. And we ask for you to move, to break through, God, to do incredible, miraculous things. God, we, your people, we desire for you to show up, Jesus. To reveal yourself to us. Your goodness, your greatness among us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.